Come to you. I want to sit at your feet. I want to behold your beauty. I want to inquire in your temple. Just want to be with you, Father. I want you, as we are in your presence, asking you to take your place. Each one who's tuning in today, meet them there where they are. Let your presence be known to each one of them, Father, your love, your care. Let them know that you're with them, that you're there to help, to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to correct, to change, and to do all the things, Father, that we cannot do ourselves. Lord, we just love you more every day. So thankful for you, so thankful that you've made a connection between our hearts and you. No matter what man would do, no matter what would do to our flesh or even anything around us, our surroundings, it wouldn't make any difference. Nothing can break that. So thank you, even as we sang, you're making us more like you. We believe what you're doing, Father. We love you for it. We thank you for it. So we'd like to commit the service today into your hands for your glory. Let your name be exalted in each heart. Your word have free course among us. Your spirit free reign over each one of our spirits. Commit the service into your hands now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Laura. Brother Alfred, thanks for coming. Brother Nate, Jesse, God bless you all. I want to say again to all of our dear wives and mothers of our children and our mothers, happy Mother's Day to you all. We love you so much. I know that there's a saying that behind every strong man, there's a successful man. Is that how it goes? There's a great woman, and I know that's the case for me for sure. I don't know what I'd do without my dear wife, and she's been, well, she's always told me, she says, I'm your worst critic and greatest fan. And that's the way wives are. For husbands, I know I was watching the series of The Chosen, and I was amazed at how they depicted Peter's wife. And I thought, oh my, how beautiful. And honey, I just saw you all over that. She said, he was doing some things in his own strength before he met Jesus. And trying to fix things in his own strength. And he was disobeying God and doing it. He had gone that far and fishing on the Sabbath, taking matters into his own hands. And there was some friction between them and tears. The love was always there. But as a wife, she let him know she was very disappointed in him. And he needed that at that moment. So he fishes all night, waits, and in the meantime of his waiting, he's crying out to God, "We're your chosen. Yeah, what did you choose us for? To go to Babylon, to now under Roman rule?" And he says, out of just frustration, his sight is clouded over. And finally, in the morning, he just cries out, just this scream out. He said, "Lord, we've waited so long." And right there, he didn't know it, but Messiah was waiting for him. And immediately he falls down at his feet and he says, "I'm a sinful man." Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." And he says, "Oh boy, what am I going to tell Eden, his wife, now?" And so he goes home and Eden's waiting for him, his wife. And he says, "I got to tell you, I have to follow." "Well, aren't you upset?" "No, this is what you were born for. This is who you are. This is my husband that I married." And I see that in Mary, honey, just thank you for your strength of character. And all you husbands out there, I want you to go thanking God for your mothers who nursed you and kept you when you couldn't help yourself. There's an undying love and there's a strength of character that God gives a woman. Okay? But I want you to go put your arm around your wives and say, "Honey, you just can't tell you how much you mean to me. Raising our children, being a partner to me." Because they have an innate strength of character. That I know Mary works herself to death when they don't have a stop mode usually. And they go until they're sick. Because they've had to do it. Burying babies, raising babies, excuse me, nursing babies. When a mother's tired, oh, you don't say to your baby, "I'll feed you later." No matter how tired you are, you just keep up and get going. So we love you all. As you know, I extend this to our sisters always too, because I know so many times there's some of our sisters aren't even married. It's their lot, but God is with them. Would they love to be mothers? Of course. We have young sisters who are drawn out of this world to walk this walk with God, separated from the world, already feeling the pressure of being different. But all I can do is say we love you all and thank God for each one of you and ask God's richest blessings, and I mean that with everything in me. Bless and keep all of you. Let's just have a prayer again like we usually do for the our dear wives, our mothers, our sisters. Heavenly Father, we'd like to commit them into your hands once again with thanksgiving. Father, how precious they are. We thank you for that, how you made them. It's your character, your nature. I know the young ones are feeling pressure of this world to conform, but somehow I lift all of them up. Father, keep them. Give them a sight and a vision beyond this world into your kingdom. And let them know that they're kingdom people, born for kingdom purposes. Father, I ask a blessing on each one. And bless them where they're at and build them up and edify them and show them your love and your strength. Keep each one, Father. Protect them. Watch over them. Guide them. We commit them into your hands now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we're back. My subject again for the last several weeks for Easter has been agape oneness. And again, a love affair between the Father and Son, and out of that love affair sprouted the delight of God's will on me and you even today. Because God was working through His Son to do everything He had to do. As the prophet told us so many times, He didn't make mistakes with the fall. We know that. Because in the depth of God's heart and mind, He knew that we needed to know Him as Savior, as Lord, as Counselor, as Healer, as Shepherd, as Redeemer, as our strength, all of these things. The one present with us, our banner, the one who fights for us. And God in His wisdom coordinated everything just perfectly. He never makes mistakes. So out of this relationship comes more relationships, as we've been saying. Out of this wonderful relationship, this agape oneness, not just a oneness, but a oneness of the best, the truest, greatest love there is, agape. Not just a oneness, not just a... You can be one, but not have that agape one. But this was agape one. This was a harmony. This was an understanding. I understand your heart. I understand your mind. I understand my part. I understand yours. We're together in one, so harmonious, so beautiful. And this we see as we've taken note previously and into the life of the apostles and even those notable words of Jesus to Peter. He said, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do. You went where you wanted to go. You know, and that's the character of young people. That's their sight. Okay, and what I'm focusing on today is that the necessity of a change of sight for us. Because your spiritual sight determines your spiritual actions. How you see things, how you see people, determines whether or not you love them, disregard them, could care less about them. How you see situations determines how you react to them. And in this sight, as we have seen again in the apostles, oh my, how God changes the sight of Paul on the road to Damascus. He blinded him to all things earthly, right? So he could open his spiritual eyes to see things heavenly. And that's what he did to Peter and how necessary it is. Now, again, we have gone in this correlation. I keep going back to the Sermon on the Mount because as we have taken note in scriptures that we've looked at and last week and the previous week, tying some of these things together, speaking of Jesus, I come to do thy will, O God. Chapter 10, in verse 9 of that chapter, he says, now in coming to do his will, he takes away the first that he might establish the second. And I said, there's Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, because Jesus had to take things, he had to strip things away for them And by stripping things away, he puts us in a position that I can hear differently. And sometimes he has to strip things away from us before I can hear. And when I hear, my sight changes. He works on my sight through his word. He works on my sight through my hearing. These are the things I'm trying to tie together. And today, with that, let's go to the book of Isaiah for our text. And this isn't new to us. Again, this is during the reign of Hezekiah, and Israel was in the pickle, so to speak. Speaking of earthly terms, they were in a mess. Because of their sin, they were surrounded by the country of Assyria. If you want to do some studying on that, the Assyrian countries, the Assyrians themselves were a terror to the whole known world at that time, conquering, brutal, torturous. And again, this is a picture of America right now. And Israel, being a type of the United States, and us being here, I just said, let's take this as God speaking to us, that we don't look to the flesh, we don't look to the outward for a help. Now they, out of fear, Israel, out of fear, called down to Egypt, said, come on, help us, the Assyrians are coming. And we know God wasn't pleased at all. So here's what God is speaking to Israel in that situation. Starting with verse 1. Oh, I apologize. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're starting with verse 1. I get caught up in what I'm thinking and forget to say. Woe unto the rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me. Don't go anywhere else. Okay? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that does what? Walketh not in the counsel of the godly. Right? We don't go. God says, come to me. You want counsel? Go to God. Woe to the rebellious children that saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Huh? Now look at America, look at the preppers, and they're doing everything they can in an extreme, but they're not going to God. That they may add sin to sin, that's a sign of unbelief. Who am I? Who is your God? Well, we don't believe you. I have to take matters into my own hands. That walk, now look at that. Walk to go down to Egypt. That's a long ways. I'm going to a lot of effort to go to flesh. And isn't that the way of man nowadays? To walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. Over and over, how is the Lord expressing his own heart to the people? You're not coming to me. Why not? To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, what are the next three words? Be your shame. And that's going to be to this generation, to this time, to this people that look elsewhere outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt will be your confusion. Can't you see that? The condition of the world nowadays, isn't it? For his princes were of Zoan, and the ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people that could not profit them. Nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and a reproach. And the burden of beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish. Huh? Of the world right now. It's going to get worse, brothers and sisters. We know that. From whence come the young and the old lion and the viper and the fiery flying serpent, that they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels unto people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain. You got that? Remember that. The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this to Israel. Where is your strength? Your strength is to sit still. Sit still. Listen, this is the most contrary thing to the human. And God is saying, do everything that's contrary to all of your logic, to your reason, to your sight, to your consciousness, to your imagination for sure. It's almost like it was in the days of Kadesh Barnea. He's asking you to shut out everything and go to an inner sight and an inner faith, and a faith that is not based on sight, and trust in them that you cannot see. But he's got to get us to a place where we can see in that spiritual realm. Their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come, now, today, for us, forever and ever. Always remember this. Always remember this example of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10, these are given. They had to go through this for us, on whom the ends of the ages has come, that we might learn. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. Why? Why would they not? The Holy Ghost wasn't given. They didn't have a way to change their sight. But we do, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, quicken again these things to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. God bless you. You may be seated, those. Now, I'm looking again as we're thinking on where the Lord is taking us, what He's doing with us, and my question to all of us this day, for each one of us, is this: how far will you allow your Lord to take you? How far will you allow Him to take you? The church, the true church, the mystic body of Christ, not associated with any building or any pastor, but the one he calls to himself. One here, one there. That's the only true church. Those that are called out of the world, from the world, to him. The true church. Those are called out of the world. Then he has to look at you and talk to you and call the world out of you. Each one of us. That's, I believe, what Matthew, and again from last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 4. The people that sat in darkness, those that sat in the valley in the shadows of death, covenant people, God's people. This was the condition of Israel. And again, I think it's so amazing. This was the beginning of God's ministry, was it not? This is his first major sermon to multitudes. This was his first coming out to among the people and speaking to them. Now, Jesus is taking these people, as we have said so many times. I keep going here, but I'm going here for a purpose. He had to take everything away from them that they knew, that was familiar with them. He had to strip them of these things. If you look at the message, Paul a prisoner, or all those messages, the prisoner, several of them that he preaches, Brother Branham says over and over he had to strip Paul. Nobody will stand before the Lord and allow them to strip them anymore, but we need to be stripped. This is what Jesus was doing. He said, you think it's this way, but it's not. You think that you're blessed and you want Messiah to come kick out Rome. No. Messiah is going to do something greater than kicking out Rome. He's going to kick out the world out of your heart. He's going to transfer you from this to a different kingdom. Now, this is the beginning. Isn't that interesting? I want to take note on some things. Because Brother Branham, right before he dies in 1965, he makes this amazing statement. Again, we're going to the message, Knoweth It Not. And he's talking about his life story, and he's talking about pain. What are we talking about? Agape oneness. What did Jesus say to his son? Huh? It pleased the Lord to bruise you. At the beginning, 1930s. Come on, 1937. The flood. The beginning, right? What did he do? He stripped him. The beginning. What was Jesus doing at the beginning of his ministry? Trying to strip these things away from the people. To get their sight different. So Brother Branham talks about his wife. He talks about his baby. He talks about his dad. He talks about losing everything that's dear to him. And then this is the only place I know in the message where he explains what was he doing to me? Why did I have to go through this? He says, what did it do? It was working from the outside. Here we are to that inside. God had to do that at the beginning of his ministry if he was going to grow him. If he was going to take him where he wanted to go. If he was going to take him to this agape oneness, this had to happen. This stripping had to take place. His sight had to be changed because he could not think according to his reason. He could not think according to his own conscience, his own will, his own imaginations, his own affections, the things that he wanted. No, God had to transport him into somehow, I'm going to give you my sight. And that's what he's trying to say to us today. I'm trying to give you my sight. And it will happen through my word. And when you take my word into your heart, no, not just listen to it, not put on a tape and fall asleep, not do this at the end of the day for 3 minutes and say, oh, what did I get? No, I can't remember. No, a connection of the Holy Spirit, a connection between the Spirit of God and your heart, a connection where he's speaking and drawing. And you watch what happens. He'll change your sight through his word. And he's going to say, okay, I've changed my sight. Now I can see better. No, we got a long ways to go. Okay? Jesus preaching to this Sermon on the Mount. Oh, we're done. No, you haven't even started yet. But I'm working on you. Okay? So here is these amazing things in the spiritual realm going on. As we read in Isaiah, I believe we're at a critical time. Look around you, brothers and sisters. Look at the world. Tell me, again, what could bring the economies of the world down to their knees crumbling? And some little thing that changed the whole world. Tell me something's not going on. Somehow, God is over all of this. Because the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, all powers are of God. So why does he allow it? Huh? To fulfill his purposes, to fulfill his word. Right? So if you get caught up in the lower realms, if you get caught realm in your own sight, you are going to have turmoil. You're going to have restlessness. You're going to have no peace. But if you can get into the realms of God and hear his voice, He says, I'm going to give you a peace. Now, what kind of peace does he say in John chapter 14? Peace I live with you, not as the world gives, right? Not as the world gives. The peace that I give to you is a peace, what, how does it go? Beyond what? Now, isn't that interesting? So, I'm giving you a peace beyond understanding. What is he saying? What does that mean when Jesus says, you know, it's like he was trying to say to Israel when they were surrounded by the Assyrians and they go down to Egypt, this gives us peace, I got a country. Okay? That's the carnal mind. What did Jesus say? What did God say to him? He said, your strength is to sit still. Your strength is to be quiet and wait on me and wait on me. And he says, but you won't do it. They couldn't. But with the Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit, he's equipping us with these things where it can be done. Amen. And he's bringing us to this place. I'm going to give you my side. I'm going to take you to these things. And I'm going to take you to a peace that's beyond. Well, how can you have peace when all of this is happening? Because it's beyond understanding. It's beyond mental reasoning. Why? Because it's a gift from another dimension. It's a gift from heaven. It's a gift from him coming down to you and say, you know what? You're a kingdom child. But Alfred is falling around. You've got to do something. You've got to do something. You've got to go. No. My peace is to sit still. My peace? Well, but that doesn't make any sense. And you just watch it. The crazier the world gets, the less sense you will make. Because he has given you a peace that goes beyond reasoning. He gives you a peace from his kingdom. He gives you a peace, a little part of heaven coming down into your heart that transports you into a place that the world cannot understand. But what is the world going to do? Huh? We got that prophecy here from the prophet. Listen to this. This is very interesting. Talk about the flesh. He says, through science and the food, the hybriding, we know that, that's perverted the whole human body, right? Till we become a bunch of massive corruption. True? Well, if the physical being is corrupted, isn't the brain cell physical? So he's going beyond the human brain. Do you hear what he said? Isn't your brain cell corrupted also? It sure is. You know, I'm the one that's fighting sugar in my brain. Pre-Alzheimer's or pre-dementia. So far, I got my wits about me. It's by his grace and every day. Now, he says, watch that spirit. Okay? Something's happening. There will come a time in the name of the Lord. This is a prophecy. They'll scream and they'll holler. Great hideous things in their imaginary mind. He says, radios, listen to this, everybody. Radios, television programs are producing that. Do you hear what he said? They're setting things in people's mind. We're seeing it, aren't we? They're producing it. There will be such things as ants rise up on the earth. That is be as high as 14 trees. Birds will fly across the earth with wings 4 or 5 miles across. And the people, they'll scream and holler and cry for mercy. But it'll be those plagues of Revelation. It'll be those plagues coming. Where are they going to happen? Through the media. Okay? Spirits. Why? You know what? Jesus says, I'm going to offer you my character. I'm going to give you my mind. And if we don't take his mind, we'll take a mind. And the mind that the devil is offering in this day is the mind of insanity. There's no peace. There's no turmoil. There's no rest. Only in the kingdom of God. Only through Jesus Christ. So here, I want to take some verses again. Let's going back to Matthew 5, and we've said this before, brothers and sisters, you know, here, what's he do in the first part of chapter 5? He's telling them, you know what? Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Who was persecuted at that time for righteousness' sake, really? Blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil things for my sake. Now, who was this? They hadn't even seen this man before. Right? So here's a man. Something's drawing to them. They heard that he did miracles because he had been preaching in Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and he healed. So they come to him. Something's there. I don't know what. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I'm drawn. And he said, you're going to be persecuted for my sake. What? What do you mean? What's he talking about? He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Huh? That doesn't sound like the law of Moses. That doesn't sound like what we've been taught. If we were obedient, the Romans would be gone. But we have been disobedient. The Romans are here. We're persecuted. What's going to change it? Messiah? What's he going to do? Well, we'll go back to the law. We'll set up sacrifices again. We'll become obedient to that. And he'll reign a great army and we'll push the Romans out. That's their thinking, right? He says, no, I got to change your thinking. So he starts working on them, saying, I'm going to take what you're thinking is not right. How you look at things is not correct. And he starts stripping them. In all of those verses, he's telling them they're lacking. And then from the verses like 22 on to 33, he says, now look at the law. You said, you know, I didn't commit murder, but he says in your mind, you're angry against your brother, you're guilty. Oh, I didn't commit adultery. Yeah, you're guilty because you did it in your mind. How did they process these things? What is he doing to them? He's taking away everything in their comfort level that they could hide behind in their religiosity. And in their religiosity, think they're okay, and they weren't okay. Isn't that frightening? And here today is the same thing. People hide in their religiosity. But do you know that you can be religious and hate God? Huh? You can be religious and be totally blind. The Pharisees were totally religious, but when the word of the living God came and stood before them, they gnashed their teeth at him. We hate you. Crucify him. Kill him. People of religiosity all through the ages. Which of the prophets did they not kill? Everyone that God sent they killed. They couldn't take it. So he's taking and he's dealing with their religiosity. And he's taking all their comfort away from them and he's stripping them away and he says, you're standing naked before God. So again, we're going to start at chapter 6, a new thing today, because this is something I've been wanting to get to for several weeks, never got there. He continues to strip away. If I can give, I want everybody to see it. Man, religiosity, you know. But what does he say? He says, take heed that you don't do your alms before men. What? Otherwise you have no reward of your Father. What? I want it done in secret. What you do, don't sound a trumpet. Can you imagine the height of religiosity? Here comes Pharisee, so and so. He's coming all in, he's dressed in his religious robes to do his things, and now he's dropping his thing, offering into the temple treasury, and sound a trumpet, here comes the important man, you know, oh, how we respect these men, and they did at that time. Right? Don't sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they might have glory of what? Men. What did Paul say in Galatians? If I be a servant of Christ, I can't serve men at the same time. You have to make your decision. Who am I going to serve? I can't serve God and mammon. I can't serve man and God at the same time. Oh, I want approval of men. I'm sorry. you're not fit for the kingdom yet. You need to walk alone with God. Is that where he's taking us? So he's stripping these things away from us, and then he says, you know, verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Pray in secret. Pray with nobody around you. Get on your knees before God, and he that sees in secret will reward you openly. Oh, that's, you just took all of my fun away. I want people to see how religious I am. Look at how good I can pray, and people will see how, oh, look at that religious man. Huh? And he's taking away, and he keeps taking away. He gives them their pattern prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men. See, what is he saying? How many times did he say just in this chapter, appear to men, so that men might see, so that men, my reward might be of men? He's taken, now listen, who do you walk with and who do you want to please? Do you want notoriety? Huh? Do you want to make a name for yourself? Do you want to be exalted of men? Or are you content to be a nobody in this world, but to be a somebody in his kingdom? So he's taking this stuff away, and he says, no, when you've done this, you've arrived. No, we're beginning our walk. But if you're going to take this road with me, you have to leave these things behind. If you want to walk with me, you can't take this with you. That's baggage that has to be left behind. Starting with verse 9, he starts to talk about their sight. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. To this day, how do you balance that out? I have to go to work. I have to save. I have kids to put through school. I've got this. I've got a retirement. I got this. Are those things wrong? We know they're not. We know that a Christian will work. He will be diligent. He won't be a bum. We know that he won't become dependent on you, everybody else. No, that's not his heart, but his heart isn't there. There's a big difference. Some people, their whole heart is there. That's why already, with the business closures, with the business failures, we have heard over and over, suicide rates are climbing. I'll never forget hearing in history class that the day that the German mark fell prior to World War II, that the Rhine River ran red with blood that day, people killing themselves. All of my hopes are there. They're in this gold. They're in this bank account. They're in, and take that away, nothing's left in my life. Really? Really, who are you? And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Where, honestly, yes, you need to do these things, but is your heart there? Lay up treasures where? In heaven. Can you do both? Only by the Spirit of God. But with the Spirit of God and with the Holy Ghost permeating you and taking over your lives, you not only can, you will. Because with him, truly, hey, Alfred, take it all where you're making him. That's fine. He's going to take care of me. You know? I love that kind of faith, and so does he. Faith makes your God smile. You know that, don't you? You want to make God smile? You want to make Papa God happy? Show him your faith in him. Show him your trust in him. Faith pleases him, doesn't it? Okay. So here again, what's he saying to these people? Your treasures are in the wrong place. It's got to change. Then he goes from there to, what are you looking at? Verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is that. What are you looking at? If your eye be single, it's full of light. But if your eye be double, what does that mean? I'm looking at two things at the same time. I have a double vision. What's your double vision? Well, it's part earth, part heaven. Ah, you're evil. What? See, he was pretty hard on these people, wasn't he? Modern Christianity does not like this part of Jesus. They don't. They never read these parts, do they? But if thine eye be evil, the whole body is full of darkness. Oh, what a terrible thing to say. You shouldn't say things like that, Lord. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great the darkness. And then he says, goes on. So this is, come on, after stripping them of their pleasing man mindset, and then telling them, your treasures are here. My treasures are in my priestly robes. My treasures are in the trumpets calling me. My trumpet is, I'm a man of notoriety. Oh, Pharisee Nicodemus is here. Oh, we all admire him. You know, all of a sudden he's taking all of this away from all the people. And he says, you can't serve two masters. You decide. You want to keep that mindset? Do you want your treasures on earth? Huh? Do you want applauds of man? Do you want to be a person of notoriety? I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to come with me. You can't serve me. You have to decide. And how many could make that decision? Shows election in the true seed that would be the only ones that could even entertain things like this. No man can serve two masters. Either they will hate the one and love the other, or they will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. Make up your mind. It's not that you won't work. You will. But where's your heart? And where's your treasure? And what are you living for? I'm living for another kingdom. That's why Jesus could say to Peter, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, something's going to change. You're going to be different. And you're going to go where you would rather not. Huh? Because there's one thing that matters to you when you are old, the will of my Father. Well, it's going to hurt. Yeah, I know that. I know that. It's going to hurt bad. Yes, I know that too. But because of my God is with me, I will be able to bear it. Oh, we're going to crucify you. I know. My Lord told me. I just have one thing to say. I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. Put me upside down. Now, what human, out of human thought, out of human sight, out of human logic, could utter or even think words like that to utter those things? You can't. It's impossible. That is somebody totally taken over by God. Do you understand? Brother Branham, that ministry, when I listen to that, a man totally taken over by God, and as soon as I say that, every time when I'm listening, the Spirit says yes, and there's more coming. And that's what he's doing, and that's what Jesus was trying to prepare these people, taking them to a place where they could be totally taken over by God. And my question again today is, how far will you let him take you? Then he goes on. Okay, America. Okay, we face these things in Y2K. We face these things in, you know, all over the place. Okay. We know. We understand, don't we? God told Joseph, there's some hard years coming. Store up. Because it's going to be for the salvation of your people, physically speaking. Take to the ant, thou sluggard. Right? Store up food. Is that wrong? If your heart's in it, it is. If your faith is in it, it is. But, well, if my heart's not supposed to be, why should I do it? Because I told you to. Oh, well, that's different. Do you understand? What voice are you following? Oh, listen, how close this can be.
oh, don't you see this? I better do this. I better do this out of fear. Wrong motive. Get rid of it. But all of a sudden the voice will say, move here, go over here, pick this up. Oh, that's different. Why? Because one, you're following your own mind, and one, you're following His. And it's going to come down to that as we walk with Him. So then He says in verse 25, therefore I said, you take no thought for your life. Really? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor your body. Take no thought for your body. Now, when's the last time you fulfilled that scripture? Honestly. So, come on. I can say, yeah, that's in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, I've read it before. And yes, I probably know it by heart. But, did you really mean that? Yeah, you really meant it. So where am I in the scriptural walk? Where am I in this place where this is fulfilled in me is my question. Where I'm becoming that kingdom person and a kingdom heart and a kingdom mind. And He's given me a peace that's beyond understanding, that's beyond reason and beyond thing. But something from heaven is coming down and ruling over me. And I don't have to worry about these things anymore. Here's my point while I'm here, okay? I'm going to stop. What I've been trying to get for you for several weeks, from the very beginning, it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. And the Son wasn't offended. What did I say to you the next week? Where is modern America? Where is modern religiosity? Fix this world. Fix my bank account. Listen to the 700 Club sometime. Go put it on YouTube and listen to it. Oh, you know, where was Israel? Fix the heat. Fix the food. Fix the giants. Everything was this realm. What did God say? I'm not taking you over. Where is modern America for the most part? And I worry, Brother Alfred, about Africa because I've seen it over there. They're hurting. Okay? Does God know that? You might hurt as bad here in America in 2 months. No, I'm serious, right? Where's my heart going to be? Modern America and modern religion is fix this realm, and if you don't, what good? And they walk away from Him. What good are you? You didn't do this. You didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted you to. Maybe I was doing something different, something deeper, something more real, something more eternal. Oh, I never thought of that. Here. Paul. I said, sometimes He's going to take you down a path, like He did Peter, like He did Paul. And it's not going to be an easy one for you to take. But He's going to say, no, we're talking eternal things with eternal values. Well, I don't want to go down there. In your mind, you won't. But it's something in your heart with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Something inside of you takes a different rule and goes down that anyway. Not only begrudgingly, no. Willingly, yes. But in love to your Father, anxiously. So, Paul, with this kind of revelation, writing to the Ephesians, the people that he could teach, in the first chapter, in the first three verses, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Well, who wants that? Take that to your prosperity church. What are you talking about, Paul? I don't want spiritual blessings. I'm not interested. I want physical blessings. No, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's my point. Hoffman, are you saying God doesn't care about these things? We know He does. How many times does He have to prove to you, I care about that toothache? Take everything to me. Remember what Brother Brown said? He proved it in the resurrection of that little fish to show that the most insignificant things he cares about. What is God saying then? Is he God saying, come on, I'm going to take you to the place where, no, that I want you to think I don't care about that anymore? No, he always does. What he's saying to you, he says, can't you trust me? Can't you trust me for these insignificant things? Why do you have to focus on them? Why do you have to spend that much time on them? Why do you have to put that much of your energy on these physical, temporal things when I'd like you to take you to spiritual things? Can't you just trust me? Where these things aren't in your mind, they're not your preoccupation. They're not take all my energy. And that's what God is trying to say. Trust me for these to this point. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Why? You know what? He's proved himself so many times. I'm going to go beyond that. I'm just going to commit that into his hands. And say, I don't have to worry about that. Why? He's my God. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go past that. I'm going to go beyond that. I'm not going to be obsessed. It's not going to take all my energy. It's not going to take all of my time to fix my portfolio and make sure my bank account is okay and make sure that my pantry is full. No, I trust him. He's going to take care of me. I can go beyond. That's what he's trying. The Spirit is saying, how far will you let me take you? And this is what Jesus was trying to say to those people on the mount. And this is what he said to Brother Branham in 1937. Do you want to go farther? I'm going to please me to bruise you because of an eternal weight of glory. Because I'm taking you to something. I have to go to that inner man. I have to go to the regions of the soul. I have to go to heavenly things. And I can't be dominated by my thinking. I can't be dominated by my reason. In my mind, I have to turn those over to the Holy Spirit. Flow through my reasoning. Holy Spirit, flow through my consciousness. Holy Spirit, flow through my imagination. Flow through those things. You use them. Here is what the message was of the Sermon on the Mount. This is what I've been trying to get you to for weeks, going around through all of these things and all these scriptures so you can see the scripturality of it all. So we're going to finish reading. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Can you do that in him? Yes. What you shall eat, really? Really? Or what you shall drink? Or for your body, what you shall put on, is not life more than meat? What did Paul cry out in the Philippians chapter 3? I'm so grieved because these people, their belly is their God. Huh? Do you see that around you? Huh? I'm going to all of my attention, all of my time. Got to make sure this belly's cared for. And lose your own soul. But what does Jesus say? Your life is more than that. And Jesus is trying to get you to that life that is more than these things. More something in the realms of the Spirit of God. Can't you just trust me? Can't you put those in my hands and let me take you farther? No, I'm obsessed with it. He says, don't be obsessed with it. Don't let it take all your time. Don't let it take all your energy. Put your energy and your time into things of me and my kingdom. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat? Is not the body more than your clothes you put on this old carcass? Huh? He says, look, this is Jesus. Look at the birds. Huh? Look at the birds. They don't sow, neither do they reap and gather in barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Now, here's the question he's asking you. How much better are you than they? Do those birds worry? They can't, of course. But he's giving an example. Are you more important? Can't you see? Does not nature speak of God? Does not nature testify of His love? Does not testify of His character? Can't you see that God takes care of those little things? Will you not let me take you past the obsession of the flesh? Will you not let me take you beyond the preoccupation of this life and this care? Won't you go with me into the book of Ephesians? Won't you let me take you there? How far will we allow Him to take us? Which of you, by taking thought, can you add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't work, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Yeah, spend all your money on your clothes, do this, but look at the simplicity. Huh? Look at the simplicity of the lily. God takes care of them. Oh, yeah, but He might not take care of me. Oh, there's going to be a famine. I got to stock up. Oh, I got to hoard. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, yeah, all in your own strength. See, the thing of man is always to go to his own strength until God takes that strength away. And sometimes God has to take the strength away. Therefore, the Father said to the Son, it pleased me to bruise him. Therefore, he said to Peter, it pleased me to bruise him. Therefore, he said to Paul, therefore, it pleased me to bruise him. And he said, I understand, Father, because I understand finally in my weakness is your strength perfected. You see where he's taking us, brothers and sisters? Do you see what he's doing? Do you see the journey we're on? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not, how much more will He clothe ye? What? O ye of little faith. Why are you worrying about these physical things when I want to take you to spiritual sight and spiritual things? I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever taken these scriptures personally to you, seriously, and considered them and say, Lord, me and you, what about my life? Huh? Because you need to. You need to take these words that He spoke and say, have I even started this journey that He wants me on? Am I preoccupied with the things of this realm? Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, reduce the time you're thinking about it. Does he really mean that? Does he really mean these words, take no thought? Take no thought? Saying what? What shall we eat? What is he saying? Can't you trust me? What do I have to do? What do I have to do to tell you? What do I have to do to get through to you? Leave these things in my hands. Go to other things. Huh? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal, how will I be clothed? And this next phrase, for all these things do the Gentiles seek.
Is that a slap in the face to these people? They couldn't even associate with the Gentiles. They're unclean.
The unclean people of the world are obsessed with this. The unclean people of the world are all concerned about this. You're different. You are covenant children. You're God's seed. You're God's chosen. You're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. You're supposed to be different. You have a different calling. Please. Look at what he says.
For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Listen, I've taken these things deadly seriously. Deadly seriously. There was a time when Jesse, you kids were little, living in Rapid City.
There's not a time.
There has never been a day when we haven't driven by the mailbox and post driven and paid our bills, paid our mortgages. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I knew that's him. And there was a time back in Rapid City and all of a sudden bills were due and we didn't have the money. And I said, get the family together. We're going on our knees for prayer. I don't know. You're probably too young to remember that. And I said, Lord, you gave me a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I said, something must have gone wrong. I must have something put something before you. Huh? Listen, brothers and sisters, there's only one thing that you have to worry about. Did I seek him? Did I put him first? Huh? Your father has a nose. He knows you need your bills paid. He knows you need your mortgage paid. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. He knows what you need for family. He says, don't do that. Don't obsess with it. Don't take time with it. Seek me first. Put me first in your mind, in your heart, in your desires, and your energy and everything. Seek me first. And then what? You have no worries. Honestly. You have no worries. Because that's all in his hands. And here is where, with everything surrounding us and everything assaulting us, and it's going to get worse. You watch it. Because Satan loves to attack this outside, doesn't he? He loves to make you worry, doesn't he? He loves to rob you of your faith, doesn't he? He loves to rob you of your peace, doesn't he? Right? Isn't this the end time? Isn't he on the rampage? Sure, where is he going to assault all of these things? But the kingdom man says, you know what? Seek my God first. I put my God first. It's in his hands. And he takes care of me. He takes care of me. I don't have to worry about it. Brothers and sisters, this is where we need to be now. This is where the Spirit is taking us. At the beginning, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the walk. At the beginning of his ministry, 1937, he said he had to move him from being influenced from the outside. At the beginning, he says he had to move him to the inside influence of the soul through the Spirit of God only. That's the beginning. This message is the beginning. This is the beginning. He has to move our sight. He has to move our desires. We have to come to this place. How far will we take us? We have to deal with these things. I have to deal with these things here. Where are my heart? Where is my treasures? Where is my goals? What is my everything? What's my ambitions? Do I do things to be seen of men? Have I committed adultery in my heart? Do I thank God when I'm persecuted? All of these things that he's addressing them with, stripping the things of the things of the way, and says, I'm taking you on this journey of faith. You're not like the Gentiles. You're not like them. You're my son. Do you know what it means that you're my son? You're my sheep. You're the apple of my eye. You're the object of my affection. Yeah, it's you I care about.
But what did Paul say? Was he ever hungry?
Yeah.
Pleased the Lord. He says, I've been instructed.
Who instructed him?
The Spirit of God. In all things. How to be hungry and how to be full. I've been instructed by the Spirit. Didn't he say that? Yeah. He says, God has these things, but you know what? I walk with God. And if he asks me to walk hungry, I'll walk hungry, but his strength will be with me. And he'll bring me through. It's just going back to Moses in the wilderness. Did Moses, you never hear a record of Moses complaining? Well, there's no water. What if there's no water tomorrow or the next day? Do you know what I can hear Moses saying? Honestly, this is just me. Joshua, Caleb. You know, hey, what if? Because doesn't the devil love what ifs? What if the grocery stores? What if there's no meat? What if there's no this? What if there's no that? What if, what if, what if? Oh, take it into your own hands. Take it into your own strength. Huh? What if, what if? No. I seek him first. And then all of these things will be taken care of. All of them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's not just a nice song to sing in church. That's a reality to live in. And it's a must. It's a necessity. It's where we're at right now, brothers and sisters. We have to deal with these things if we're going to go beyond them into the realms of being satisfied that I'm going to bless you with spiritual blessings now in heavenly places. And I'm not obsessed with the physical blessings in physical places. Because I trust him. I trust him. I've seen him. And if I would doubt him after all this time, that would be the biggest insult in the world that I could do to my Lord. To doubt after all that he's proven himself to us. I'm going to read these verses and then we'll close. Musicians, would you come and get ready? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the unbelievers, the heathens, the barbarians, they all worry about those things. You're different. You're not one of them. You know what? You have a Heavenly Father. He knows that he knows you have need of this, doesn't he? Yeah. But here's what I want you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's just take it one day at a time. And trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. What is the Spirit of the Lord saying? Trust me. Trust me. What will the Spirit of God, again, my question, how far will you allow him to take you on this journey? Blessed be your name, Heavenly Father. We love you, and I ask even now, please forgive us for our unbelief. Please forgive us, Father. How many minutes during the day do we not seek your kingdom first, or do we lay treasures on earth where moth and rust dust corrupt and thieves do break in and steal? But Lord, how you're just crying out, trust me, trust me, trust me for these things. Just take me first, and I'll take you into places you never knew existed in me. Father, and bottom of our hearts, we just cry back out to you. Father, we want to go with you. We want to go where you lead us. We will follow.
pray in Jesus' name. Brother Nate, would you come? God bless you all. Have a blessed day.
Seek Him first.
life.